Father, thank you for our life in Christ. We thank you for who you are. Holy Spirit, keep leading us into all the truth about yourself and Jesus and the Father. Amen. So I wrote a small little post devotional yesterday while I was spending the day in airports, which is where I live. Every now and then I just stop at my house and get a good night's sleep, but I live in an airport. This is from 1 Corinthians 13. Now, I want you to hear something that's hard to believe. And the fact that when I say it, it's hard to believe is testimony to the great tragedy that is hard to believe. Again, C.S. Lewis said, the most important thing about us is what we believe about God. And the saddest thing about most of us is what we believe about God, because we really don't understand who he is. This is from 1 Corinthians 13, this chapter about describing love. It says in verse 4, love is patient. So 1 John says that God is love, right? So we can say God is patient. God is kind. Wow, God is kind. Do the things that you hear others say, the podcasts that you listen to, preachers, stuff that you grew up listening, God sound very kind? God is not jealous. God does not brag. Love is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. Now listen to this one. Love does not seek its own. It is not provoked and does not take into account a wrong suffered. So, love does not seek its own. Therefore, you can understand why it says love is not provoked. Now, you may try to come up with a lot of things in your mind. Well, yeah, let's see where God did this, did that. But so you think that God says that you are to walk in love that can't be provoked, but it's okay for him, that you're more God-like than him? Love does not seek its own. Now, this is true for us. We're called to walk in the love of Christ, but I want to say some things about God. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Because love doesn't seek its own, of course, it doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. If it's not about you, then you can't be wronged. If it's not about you, you can't be wronged. You don't take it personally if you're not seeking your own, if you can't be provoked. We talk a lot about not getting offended, because Jesus doesn't, being hurt for people instead of being hurt by people or with people. That's who Jesus is. And this is who God is towards you. So I'll make a statement. God does not get disappointed in you. If you don't take things personally, how can you be ticked off at someone? If you don't seek your own, if you can't be provoked, if you can't take into account wrongs, then how can you be disappointed in them because they hurt you? See, what I believe with all my heart is that God gets disappointed for us. Bracken said this morning, he said, God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that we should no longer perish. If we believe in him, we'll have eternal life. God's passion is for humanity to stop perishing. You've heard me describe that word before. It's a Greek word that means spoiled or ruined. Breaks God's heart that humanity ruins their lives, that they're self-destructive. He came to save us from our self-destruction. And the very next word, Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, to judge the world, but that through him the world might be saved. So when you blow it, or if you blow it, why do we always assume we're going to blow it? If Jesus is our standard and Jesus is our source, why do we assume that we're going to have to blow it? Doesn't Jesus get to determine how okay we're going to be, not us? We always lower the bar because our expectation is we're going to keep blowing it. Why? We don't have to blow it. He came to set us free from blowing it. But his passion for you is to keep you from self-destruction. And so he included you into the life of Christ to give you a whole new identity. Your nature is one of righteousness. That's your nature. Not just righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus. The right living of Jesus. Being right. Something right about you. The innocence and the unbrokenness of Jesus. And so when you and I blow it, does the Holy Spirit get grieved? Yes. He's grieved for us. God, that's a big deal for you to hear. He doesn't take it personal. In God's brokenness, he's not sitting around waiting for you to do something else so his feelings can get hurt again. It's holiness. When you fail, he doesn't take it personal. He's hurt for you, not hurt with you. Because he wants you, according to Ephesians 4:15, and according to Colossians 2:5, 6, and 7, he wants you to grow up into all things into Christ. That's his heart. That's why Jesus came. That's his priority. That's what he's committed to 24/7, where he just crosses his arm and turns his back on you, don't want to talk to you, to where he like is in love with you. And us. And in doing that, we are convicted of sin, but your sin doesn't mean that he's hurt with you, ashamed of you, disappointed in you. He's disappointed for you. He's got so much more for you. He longs for you. He woos you. He draws for you to be. And his activity in your life is to always call, to work in you, to call you into manifesting that reality. So you know what? He didn't have time. Sorry. He can't do that and go, I'm not talking to him today. I'm really disappointed in him. No, he grieves for us because he knows how self-destructive sin is. He knows how evil the devil is, and he hates sin, and he hates the devil, but he never hates you, never disappointed in you. That's a liberating word. You've known perfectionists, and so when we think God's perfect, we think about people that we know are perfectionists, and they're just grumpy, grouchy people most of the time because we're always disappointing them because we're not doing it right. That's not who God is at all. God is love, and he just said that love doesn't take into account wrong suffered. Love does not seek its own. Now listen to that. He's seeking your good, and he's determined to be good to you. He's always calling you forth into transformation. Now you understand better that there's therefore now no condemnation, no flavor of condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Okay. Dare to believe it, because you'll find that it will provoke you towards holiness, provoke you to worthy to. You know, it was for freedom's sake that Christ set you free. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.